Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazenia. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
Welcome to Live with Passion. My name is Father Cedric Pazenia. I am proclaiming a series called A Rush of Grace. And as you come to the cross, I believe that you will experience a rush of grace. That's exactly what happened to the man who was crucified with Jesus. He said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he experienced a rush of grace. And you too can experience grace. I wanted to share with you from 1 Corinthians, and this is chapter 1. Jews demand signs, Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. A stumbling block to Jews, folly to Gentiles, but to those who are called, Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. The foolishness of God is wiser than people, and the weakness of God is stronger than people. I have professed a vow dedicated to the cross. You can see what I'm wearing here. This is my religious habit. And this is my sign. I am a passionist. And the sign means the passion of Jesus Christ. So along with poverty, chastity, and obedience, I have professed a vow to meditate upon the passion and proclaim its meaning to everybody. That's exactly what I'm going to do in this program. I want you to understand what the meaning of the passion is. I remember one time I preached parish missions and I travel around the United States. And I was with one of our priests. He's now in his 80s, but at that time he was probably in his 60s. And we were driving to a town in Louisiana, and together we were going to proclaim the retreat, the mission to that town, to that church. And as we drove into town, this is before the age of GPS, I said to Father Blaise, I said, "Blaise, where is the church that we're going to?" And he said, "I don't know." Now, you have to understand something. I'm a type A personality. I like to know where we're going, and I like to know when we're going to get there. Father Blaise, on the other hand, was much more laid back, kind of easy. He was a type B personality. And when he said, "I don't know," that kind of got me going. And I said, "Well, Blaise, how are we going to find the church?" And he said, "Well, just look up. You'll see the cross, and the cross will point the way." And sure enough, we got into town, and there on this big, huge steeple was a cross right above the church, and it pointed the way to the church. He was exactly right. And I love that. I always remember that because I believe and I know from my own experience that the cross points the way. If you heard that reading, and I know that you did, we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to many people, but it's the power of God in the wisdom of God. It points the way. Now, this is the meaning of the cross. It points the way to forgiveness. It points the way to eternal life. It points the way to inner healing. So a cross isn't a crucifix, isn't just a decorative emblem. It's something powerful that mediates a rush of grace. Now, we're all familiar with the cross or the crucifix. I grew up with it, being born and brought up Catholic. But as a young man, I really didn't know the meaning of the cross. I knew that Jesus lived, and I knew that he died upon a cross, and it was supposedly for us, but I had never really received it personally. And then let me share with you what happened to me. I went to the University of Massachusetts. This is a big, huge, secular university, probably has about 35,000 students. And it has great disciplines, great academics, but it's also known as kind of a party school. It's been called ZooMass instead of UMass. Well, anyway, one time I was as a freshman, I'm there on campus, and we have these huge dormitories. There were five tall ones along with a lot of other ones, 22 stories high. And on one of the dormitories, I remember as I was walking on campus, I looked up, and on the fifth floor, where the lounge was, there were the big plate glass windows, and each window had a poster stuck on it, and it spelled out a word, and the posters were in different colors with big letters, P-A-R-T-Y. party, and it was Friday night, and, you know, I'm a freshman and wanted to meet some people, and so I decided to go to the party. But I remember I got in front of the mirror, and I'm getting dressed and put on my best blue jeans and my best Angora sweater, and I had a sterling silver cross that I would wear around my neck that my mom gave me, and it would glisten when the light would hit it. It would look really nice. And I remember standing in front of the mirror, and I put the cross on, and I was going to put it underneath the sweater, and I thought, no, I'm going to put it outside the sweater. You see, I was going to the party, and I knew that there were going to be some sweet young things at the party, and I was hoping that one of them would take a look at me and see the cross and say, hey, there's a Christian guy. I'm going to go talk to him. So I go to the party, and I was with my friend, and we're standing there, and I look around the room, and I mean, it was packed. There was a party. Everybody saw the sign, and I'm standing there with my friend, and I look across the room, and there she was. She was blonde, probably about 19 years old, and she was really pretty. She's looking at me, and you could see she was looking at my cross. And I'm thinking to myself, this thing's working. Sure enough, I'm attracting somebody by the cross. And she started to walk over to me, and she came right up to me, and I'll never forget this. She looked me in the eyes. She looked at the cross, then she looked me in the eyes again, and she said, do you know what that cross means, or are you just wearing it to look good? Wow. It was like, pow, right in the face. And I didn't know what to tell her, because at that time in my life, 18 years old, I didn't know what the cross meant. I was wearing the symbol of all that is holy, the symbol of all that is sacrificial, the symbol of all that is love, for my own self-aggrandizement so that I could pick up a girl. About a year later, took me a good year, but I held that in my heart. I finally came to Christ as a young man, 18, 19 years old, surrendered my life to him, and I believed, I simply believed that he died for me personally on the cross, and I received forgiveness and salvation. It's interesting, when the Hebrews were going through the desert, remember, they had just been freed out of Egypt by an act of God. Now they're going through the desert. They got bit by snakes. They got bit because they were mumbling and grumbling and complaining and sinning. They got bit by snakes and they were dying. And so Moses goes to God and says, help us. And so God said this. He said, take a snake, put it on a pole, and hold it up. And anyone who just looks at that pole will be healed. And Jesus talked about that. He says, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes won't perish but have eternal life. And so the cross is real simple. You can't earn it. You don't deserve it. And you can never merit it. You just simply look at it. You look at what Jesus did to you, but it's a look of faith saying, yes, he died for me. And that's what I want for all of my viewers, especially those of you who are my partners and my benefactors, those of you who are buying my resources. More than anything, I want you to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior and realize, personalize, simply believe that that cross wasn't just for the whole world. Yes, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes wouldn't perish but have eternal life. It wasn't just for the world. It's for you. Maybe you're just tuning into the program, and I want you to know that providentially, I believe, that God has you tuning in because Jesus died for you. Simply believe. Simply believe. He'll bring you salvation, eternal life, healing. Let me tell you about the healing that he brought to my heart. That's what it says in Isaiah chapter 53. By his stripes, Jesus' stripes, his scourging, his being nailed to the cross, by his stripes, we were healed. God does something called an inner healing in our hearts. You see, when you sin and you've committed sins of the past, and we all have, it comes with guilt and shame. And most people, yeah, I know that Jesus died for me, and I know that I'm going to have eternal life, or so I believe, but there's still that guilt and that shame deep within. And when I came to Christ, I received an inner healing. And all my sins were washed away. And I was able to forgive myself. And that's what I want for you. When you come to the cross, when you see the sufferings that Jesus endured for you, you can be healed of the shame and the guilt and the self-condemnation. You just lay your burdens down at the foot of the cross. Would you do that right now? He died for you. He loves you. You don't have to hold on to the guilt, no matter what you've done. And I realize that some of you haven't been saints all your life, that there's been some hard times for you. Just simply lay it down. Receive the passion. Receive the grace of the cross. I pray that there will be a rush of grace in your life right now. That like the criminal that was crucified with Jesus, like the centurion that proclaimed him as the Son of God, this is a Roman soldier, you would receive the mercy and the power and the grace that is at that old rugged cross. So I joined a religious community called the Passionists. And we were founded in the Catholic Church by a man named Paul Danio, subsequently canonized St. Paul of the Cross. We were founded way back in the 1700s in Italy, founded to proclaim the message of the cross. This is our keynote scripture. We preach Christ and Him crucified. And that's a scandal to a lot of people, but to us it makes perfect sense. It's the power and the wisdom of God. And it brings salvation, brings healing. So we were founded in Italy. Now we're in 64 countries. And our primary work, our primary ministry, is evangelization. We're trying to proclaim the cross to all people so that they'll receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior and experience salvation and experience forgiveness and inner healing, freedom from the guilt and the shame and the self-condemnation. So we're in 64 countries, and this is the habit that we wear. We have retreat centers. I live at the retreat center in Houston. And the work that we do, the ministry that we do, is beautiful. People are coming to Christ. People are receiving Him as their Lord and Savior. And that's exactly what I want for you. So as Passionists, we proclaim the cross, and we call that the historical passion. It was Fulton Sheen, the great bishop and preacher of our Catholic Church, who said, he wrote a book called The Life of Christ. He said, the cross hung over the crib. Jesus was the only person born to die, expressly to die. And that's the meaning of the cross, that He came to bring us eternal life, that we could experience healing, that we could experience forgiveness. That's the meaning of the cross. But as Passionists, I learned something else, that along with the historical passion that happened 2,000 years ago, Jesus crucified, we also have something called the contemporary passion. And the contemporary passion is the suffering that's happening in us today and our ability to unite ourselves with Christ crucified. Remember, Paul the Apostle said, I have been crucified with Christ. No longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So your sufferings, your pains, your trials are part of what we call the contemporary passion. Let me try to explain that to you. One time I was at our retreat center and they put in our chapel a big cross. And I walked over to it and it wasn't on a wall. It was right there in the middle of the chapel for everybody to see. And I walked over to the cross and I saw the front. And then I looked around and I noticed that there's a backside of the cross. Oftentimes, just because it's on the wall, you don't see that. You just see the front, Jesus crucified. And as I looked at the front of the cross, I saw it. And as I looked at the back, all of a sudden, I heard a still, small voice. The front of the cross was for me, but the back of the cross is for you. And I came to realize that all of my trials and my sufferings and my passion itself is mystically united with Christ crucified. The scripture says that we have a great high priest who can sympathize with us because he was like us in everything but sin. In the same way, when we suffer, the word passion means suffering, we can sympathize with the man of sorrows, our great high priest, who who went through tremendous tribulation, tremendous sufferings, and that identification, that harmony, that sympathy brings us into a mystical union with Christ. Not only does the cross save us, the cross sanctifies us, helps us to grow, helps us to become all that we can be, and mystically unites us to Christ crucified. I'll try to explain this more. What kind of sufferings are you bearing right now? I think about my own life. I remember when I was a teenager, growing up, very healthy, had a great life. But as a teenager, as I started going through high school, I developed acne. And when I started developing acne, you know, you go to the mirror and you see these red blotches all over your face. I mean, it was the hardest thing that I had ever gone through at that time in my life. But you know, that acne, interestingly, deepened me. I used to be so superficial. I would just look at people and judge the way they look or their performance or the way that they were, the way that they spoke. But acne took me from being superficial to the supernatural. It softened me. It brought me humility. It brought me compassion. And I must say, as much as I hated to have acne growing up, it changed me as a person. And that's exactly the role of suffering in our life. Whatever suffering you may have, it can deepen you and actually unite you to Christ. I say this all the time. I always say, don't waste your sufferings. You can see more through a teardrop than you can through a telescope. So maybe you're going through acne, I don't know, or physical sufferings of some sort, or having a breakup, or grieving, or loneliness, or depression. Whatever you may be going through right now, God doesn't give you these sufferings, but what he does is he works in your sufferings to unite you to Christ crucified. He uses the sufferings to sanctify us. That's a theological word that means to help you to grow in virtue. That's exactly what happened to me with acne. I began to become compassionate. That word passion, compassion, to suffer with. I began to look at other people and not just judge them, but be compassionate toward them. I began to, instead of being superficial, become deep and spiritual. Instead of being real prideful and arrogant, a new humility came into my life. And it was sufferings that helped me to become that way. In the same way, I believe that your sufferings are meant to deepen you, to bring you humility, to bring you compassion, and to unite you mystically with Christ crucified, who is the man of sorrows. I remember I watched a movie some time ago, I believe it was back in the 1990s, and it starred William Hurt. William Hurt was an expert surgeon, a doctor, and he was good and he knew it. He was pretty arrogant, pretty prideful, and let's just put it this way, he did not have a good bedside manner. He would have a patient, and he would go to them, and he would be rude toward the patient. Because after all, he was the best. He was a great doctor. He was going to take care of them. He just didn't have much compassion. Well, what ended up happening in the movie is William Hurt, he played the doctor, as I said, a very rude doctor. He ends up getting throat cancer, cancer of the vocal cords. And now, all of a sudden, the doctor has become a patient. And while he was a patient, he learned a lot of different things about his own life and about life in general. And what he learned was compassion. All of a sudden, he had to be operated on. And in a humorous scene, one of the doctors that operated on him, he had to have his throat operated on, she said to him, "Now I can cut your throat legally. And I've wanted to do that for years," because he was such a jerk. Well, anyway, he had the operation, he turned out well, and then he got to be a doctor again and treating patients. But his life had changed. He had become compassionate. He didn't just treat him as another body out there that he was going to work on. He treated him as a real person, and he developed humility. And it all came through his sufferings. And again, I think that's the role of suffering. It helps us to grow in compassion, to grow in humility, and to really look at other people, not just as objects, not just as someone out there, but as a real person. So think about your own sufferings and what you're going through. Maybe you're about to have an operation. There's a purpose in all this. Heard about this tree that was on top of a mountain. And because it was on top of the mountain, whenever the wind would blow, the wind was fierce up there. And it would hit that tree really hard. And the tree complained. And it said, "Why do I have to be up here on the mountain?" It looked down in the valley, and it could see all the other trees down in the valley. And down in the valley, they all looked so happy. It wasn't very windy down there. But up on top of the mountaintop, it was so windy, and it was always being buffeted. In other words, the tree suffered. And it was complaining. "Why do I have to suffer? Why can't I be down there in the valley?" Well, one day, a ferocious hurricane hit not only the mountain, but it hit the valley too. And the tree held fast because the wind had strengthened its roots. And then he looked down in the valley, and all the trees in the valley, because of that fierce hurricane-type wind, that tempest, all the trees in the valley had been blown over because they had no roots. But because of its sufferings, because of the prior wind, then when the big wind came, it was held fast and it was strong because it had roots. Oh, do you get the message? I love what Paul the Apostle says. He said, "Be rooted and grounded in Christ." Many people don't have roots. And what our sufferings do is they root us. We become one. We get stronger. So that eventually, when that big tempest comes, that huge hurricane that's going to hit everybody, of course, I'm talking about death, we will already be rooted because of the trials and the tribulations and the pains and the sufferings and the unity and the sympathy and the harmony and the mystical union that we already have. So don't complain that everybody else has got a good life. You don't know what's going to happen to them. Rather, look at your own life and realize that God is working in you. I love what Paul the Apostle said. I quoted it before. "And he suffered greatly. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." He went through shipwrecks, stonings, and starvation, sleepless nights. As he said, it was to root me in God so that I can trust in the living God who raises the dead. So your sufferings have meaning. Your sufferings have purpose. And you have to understand that. I remember one time I led a pilgrimage to Rome. And we walked into St. Peter's Basilica. And if you've ever been there, this is a big, huge, beautiful church. There was the Michelangelo's Pietà right to the right. The Pietà is that moment where Mary receives the dead body of her son Jesus, that moment of anguish, of suffering, of grief. And Michelangelo captured it in such a beautiful way. Well, as soon as we walked in, I had about 35 people with me. One woman in our group broke ranks. She ran right over to that statue crying. Obviously, she was a mother who had suffered greatly, and she could identify with the sufferings of Mary. And as I watched her cry, I began to cry. It was great compassion. What am I saying? That your sufferings bring identification not only with Mary, but with Christ. And when you go through suffering, you develop compassion. You develop virtue. So please understand that there's meaning in the passion. There's meaning and purpose in your sufferings. You must be sanctified. Now, when that girl came up to me, that beautiful girl at the party, and she said to me, "Do you know what that cross means, or are you just wearing it to look good?" She was right. I was just wearing it to look good, and I did not know what it meant. Since then, God has been working in my life in a powerful way, and I've come to discover that the cross is all about eternal life, forgiveness, and inner healing. Receive that rush of grace. And I have discovered that the cross is all about mystical union with Christ crucified. You take your sufferings, you unite it to Christ, and you allow His grace, that rush of grace, to sanctify you, to make you holy, and become all that you can be. Don't just live, live with passion. This is Father Cedric Pizania. Thank you so much for listening to my program. I hope you are inspired by my radio program. My goal is to reach out to you and to all with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I invite you to visit my website, www.frcedric.org. That's fathercedric.org. On my website, you can watch my television programs, you can listen to more podcasts, you can make prayer requests that come directly to me, and much more. I have many resources to help you in your Christian life. My resource phone is 844-FATHER-C. That's 844-328-4372. Please feel free to call. Thank you again. Don't just live, live with passion.